بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We continue reading in the book of Salah. The author, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب فضل الجماعة ووجوبها. The author, he mentioned the chapter with regards to the clarification of the virtue of the congregational salah and its obligation. بابو فضل الصلاة بابو فضل الجماعة ووجوبها. The chapter with regards to the clarification of the virtue of the congregational prayer. The virtue meaning the great reward for the one who performs it properly and sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And also, بَابُ وُجُوبِهَا. Also, the chapter with regards to the clarification of the obligation. The obligation of establishing the congregation. And the obligation of performing the obligatory prayers in congregation. So this chapter, the author, he is mentioning two affairs directly. And that is the virtue of the salah. The congregational salah, salat wa jama'ah, and also the obligation, In the chapter title, he began with mentioning the virtue, and this is to encourage the people to strive to perform that action properly and to encourage them to the good that is in the establishment of the congregational prayer. And this is the way of the Musannifin and the ulama who author works. Many times they begin the chapters in the issues of fiqh and with regards to the ibadat and likewise the rulings and regulations of al-Islam. They begin by mentioning the narrations with regards to the virtue of that deed as an encouragement. And at-targhib wal-hath ala adai hadha al-amr. As an encouragement and to cause the souls to desire to perform that action and to make the action beloved to them by seeing the virtue of that. And when an individual, he knows the virtue of something, it's easy for him to bear the hardship in obtaining that and fulfilling that obligation because of the great reward that is in the congregational prayer. A believer will be able to establish it properly whenever he learns that and he knows that. The virtue of the jama'ah. And likewise, after he mentioned that, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned the obligation of it as well. And this is to warn from those who are negligent with regards to that. So he mentioned the virtue of the congregational salah, along with mentioning the obligation of that, in order to encourage the people to perform it and likewise to warn the people from being negligent with regards to it. So the congregational prayer, the one who performs it, he has a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who leaves it without an excuse, then he has a sin. Because, as he mentioned here, it's an obligation from the obligations of the deen. It's an obligation from the obligations of the deen. Wajibu min wajibat al-deen. Salatul Jama'ah. And this is with regards to the men and those who are of age. And likewise, there are some other issues that we will discuss with regards to this. And from those who are near to the masjid as well. And the likes. So with regards to Al-Jama'ah, the congregational prayer. In the Arabic language, Al-Jama'ah qallu al-jam'i thalath. The smallest number for a plural or a congregation will be three. In the Arabic language, yani lughatan. But with regards to the fuqaha, they have mentioned أقل الجماعة عند الفقهاء إمام ومأموم. إمام ومأموم, يعني رجلين. That the smallest the congregation could be, according to the scholars of jurisprudence and fiqh, they mentioned that it would be an imam along with one person praying with him, any two people. Two people. In this manner, a congregation will be established. So the obligation of the congregation, this is with regards to the five daily prayers, the obligatory prayers. Likewise, this is with regards to Salatul Jumu'ah, Also, this is an obligation to be performed in congregation. And likewise, Salat al-Eid, Salat al-Eid. So these are from the prayers that are established. They're established in a congregation, in jama'ah. And this is an obligation for that prayer to be established in that manner. And it's an obligation for the prayer to be established in that manner. The congregation, it must be established. The congregation must be established. This is one issue. That's an obligation. Likewise, after it's established, attending the congregation as well, this is as well another obligation. Now, the ulama, they differed about this issue, or the obligation of attending the congregational prayer, and the correct opinion in what the author is mentioning here, and likewise he will mention the evidences to support that position, that also it's an obligation to attend. Also, it's an obligation to attend the obligatory salah in the masjid with the congregation. The obligatory salah in the masjid with the congregation. So this is what the author is discussing here. But along in this chapter as well, after mentioning narrations with regards to these two issues, he also followed up these two issues by mentioning the prohibition of prohibiting the women from praying in the masjid, and that it's allowed for them to pray in the masjid. And if they seek permission to go to the masjid and they have fulfilled the proper requirements that are upon them, then they should be allowed and they should not be prohibited. The author, he mentioned narrations with regards to this as well in this chapter. Also in this chapter, he will mention some issues with regards to sunan al-rawatib, the rawatib, the non-obligatory prayers that are highly recommended, that are coupled or attached with the obligatory prayer. And all of these issues we will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala in this chapter. But here, the issue at hand, the author, he begins, Babu fadli al-jama'a wa wujubiha. And the encouragement, and by knowing the virtue and the great reward for establishing the congregational prayer, and also the mention of its obligation. Al-Islam, the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is a deen of unity. It is a deen of unity and congregation. And it has been legislated in many of the acts of worship in the deen. Many, many acts of worship, they have been legislated, and a congregation is required for them. And Allah has legislated these acts of worship that he should be worshipped alone by way of these actions. And he has also legislated, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these acts of worship should be performed in congregation. And that they should be performed in unity and unification. And the believers, they should be unified in their creed and in their belief. And in the manner that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the how and the way they worship him, and the time. The times that they worship him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're unified in this. They are unified in this. From the foundations of Al-Islam is that it calls to unification. It calls to unification. It calls to Tawheed and As-Sunnah. And those who understand this deen properly, and they understand Tawheed wa Sunnah properly, they understand the Quran and the way and the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accordingly, meaning according to the companions and those who witness the revelation and learn from him, learn from the Messenger himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who understand it in this manner, they will be united always. They will be united in creed and in their hearts. They will be united, and likewise in their bodies and the actions of worship, they will be united. And as well, and the manner that they deal with each other, they will be united. They will be on one path, as-sirat al-mustaqim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has clarified the obligation of that and mentioned in his book, wa'tasimu bihabrillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. And he said, and hold fast to the rope of Allah altogether, and do not be divided. And do not be divided. And Allah warned from being like those people who have divided. وَلَا تُكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا. Do not be like those who differed and they were divided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he warned likewise, وَلَا تُكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. And do not be like the polytheists and the pagans. And they have, from those people who have separated and divided in the deen, and they have separated their deen. Kullu hizbin bima ladayhi farihun. Every one of them, they think that they have what is good, and they're happy with what they have invented, and what they have innovated, and what they have added or taken away from, and with regards to the true deen. So we have been commanded to not be like them, and we have been commanded to be united. And the way of unification is to be upon the Quran and the Sunnah with regards to the understanding. of, yani all of this with the understanding of the companions and the scholars of hadith, yani from their first three generations. Naam, so these acts of worship have been established, or many of these acts of worship have been established, and a congregation likewise is established in order to perform them. This is so that the soul and the heart can practice, and it can be cultivated, it can be raised and nourished upon this way of unification, to be unified as a foundation from the deen. أصل من أصول الدين الاجتماع على الحق والهدى الاجتماع على التوحيد والسنة الاجتماع على فهم سلف الأمة. This is a foundation and a fundamental principle in the deen. Naam, and we see that in this issue here, the congregation of the Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He legislated for the believers. Naam, congregations. Congregations that are obligatory to attend. Congregations that are daily. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has legislated for the Muslims, congregations that are daily, an obligation for them to attend. Likewise, He has legislated congregations, jama'at that are weekly, an obligation for the believers to attend and to be present in that congregation. And these are from the these are the best and the most noble of all congregations. Naam, and likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shara'a lil muslimin ijtima'at. He also has legislated for the Muslims as well, congregations, sanawiyya, yearly, yani daily and weekly and yearly congregations that have been legislated. All of this in order to raise the believer and to be cultivated upon unification and to have harmony with the Muslims in general, and to know that he has brothers in the deen, and that they aid and support one another, and that they see each other daily. And they see each other, and they are united, and they are congregated daily and also weekly as well as yearly, daily in the obligatory prayers that are established in the masajid, and weekly in Salatul Jumu'ah that is likewise established in the masjid every Yawmul Jumu'ah, and likewise every year whenever the fast is established and the believers, they're all fasting together. And they're unified in that fast. And likewise, the great congregation of Hajj, whenever they're unified in their act of worship and in the place that they are at, as well as the clothing that they're wearing, all of them are unified and they're one. And this unification, whether it's in the Salat, or whether it's in the Hajj and the likes like this, whenever these actions are performed in this manner, the people are one and the people are the same. The rich and the poor, they're all the same. Whenever they're performing the Salat, the rich man, he puts his head on the ground just like the poor man. The one who is wealthy and the one who has luxury and the one who is poor and the one who is destitute, both of them, they prostrate and they bow before Allah. And both of them at this time, they're the same and they are equal. And the only thing that will be a means for one of the other to be better than the other and raised higher in rank and status is the taqwa that's in his heart. Is the taqwa that's in his heart. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Verily, the most noble of you with Allah and the one who fears him the most is the one who fears him the most. So there's unification here. Likewise, even in the Hajj, we find this unification and the likes, and even those who are rich and those who are wealthy, they're all wearing the same garment and they're all performing the same actions in the same place, in the same manner. Oh, like this, the foundation of unification and unity and being congregated upon the haqq is something that is a foundation from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that is highly recommended and highly encouraged. And with regards to the congregational prayer, it has many benefits. The ulama have mentioned many, many benefits for the establishment of the congregational prayer and for attending that prayer. And from them is that it's a protection from shaitan. And shaitan, whenever an individual, he is alone, shaitan, he has much leverage over him, and he's able to whisper to him and to mislead him and to misguide him. But whenever he is with his brother, he's stronger. And whenever the congregation is greater, he the believer is stronger. And whenever the congregation is greater, shaitan is weaker. Shaitan is weaker. So therefore, a believer, he's strong with the strength of his companions and his brothers. And whenever they're upright upon the straight path, the shaitan, his way to whisper to them and to mislead them and to detour them away from the straight path, it becomes less and his ability becomes weakened. And the likes like this. So it's a means to be protected from shaitan. And shaitan, with regards to the human being, he's like a wolf with regards to the sheep. And whenever one of those the sheep are together, then the wolf, he has a harder time in getting his meal and then causing commotion and wreaking havoc amongst the herd and amongst the flock. But whenever one of those sheep strays away and he's alone, then he's prey for the wolf. Like this, the believer, whenever he's far away from the congregation and he's far away from the main body of the upright believers, likewise he becomes prey for shaitan, and he becomes a means for him to be deceived and to be tricked and to be lured into the traps, into the snares of shaitan. Iyadhan billah. Iyadhan billah. Likewise, from the benefits of the congregational prayer is that not everybody sometimes has learned how to pray properly, and not everyone is aware of the affairs of the salat and how to perform it, and the affairs of the deen likewise in general. And whenever they come to the prayer and they meet each other, then the one who is knowledgeable, he will teach the one who does not know, and the one who does not know will likewise will learn from the others who are around him by watching. So the knowledge will be spread, and there will be an opportunity for the people who do not know to meet with the people of knowledge and to benefit from them. And likewise, the benefit from the knowledge that is spread in general in the masajid. Those who attend the prayer, they benefit from that knowledge that is spread just by being in the masjid. So this is a great benefit. Likewise, by being around the people of virtue and the people of knowledge, whenever one attends the masjid, he will find them there. The people of fadl and virtue and the people of ilm, and tulab al-ilm and the likes, he will find them there and he will benefit from them. And he will be directed and he will learn how to pray properly, and he will see the people praying in a manner different from him, and he would ask, or he would rectify his situation and the likes like this. So therefore, there's many benefits in attending the jama'ah. And likewise, as mentioned before, it separates the differences from the people. The people, they become unified once takbiratul ihram is made. The wealthy and the poor, all of them, they become one. They become the same. All of these differences in the dunya, they're gone at that time. Allahu Akbar. And they become servants and slaves and worship to Allah alone. And worship to Allah alone. And the only difference between them at that time is the piety that's in the hearts. It's the piety that's in the hearts as they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshiping Him alone. So therefore, the congregational prayer, it has many benefits from attending the congregation. And from them, the author, he's going to mention some of them. But in any case, it's legislated for the great reason of unification and keeping the hearts united together in the brotherhood. Al-Ukhuwa al-Imaniya. Al-Ukhuwa al-Imaniya. So the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah wa ta'ala, the first hadith, he says, An Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Salatul jama'ati afdalu min salatil fadhi bi 27 daraja. This narration is from the narration of Abdullah bin Umar, radiyallahu anhuma. And he mentioned that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Salatul Jama'ah, the congregational prayer, أفضل من صلاة الفذ. That the congregational prayer is more virtuous or better than Salat al-Fadh. Al-Fadh ay al-Fard, wal-Rajul, al-Munfarid. Nam al-Shakhs al-Munfarid, al-Fadh. Nam al-Fard, al-Munfarid. Yani a person by himself. بِسَبْعٍ وَعِشْرِينَ دَرَجَةً That the prayer in congregation is better or more virtuous than the prayer of one of you by yourself is more virtuous by 27 levels. By 27 levels. This narration similarly like this, or this the mention of the virtue of the congregational prayer over the prayer of one praying by himself, likewise has been narrated from other companions. From them, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, is collected by Bukhari. And his narration or his wording, he mentioned bi khamsin wa ishreena daraja. Like here, daraja, by 25 levels. Ibn Umar, he mentioned 27 levels. Also, this narration is narrated by Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu in Bukhari and Muslim. He said bi khamsatin wa ishreena juz'an, by 25 parts. So we see that sometimes this narration has been mentioned with regards to the virtue of the congregation over the prayer alone, over one's prayer alone, by 25 times, and sometimes from the hadith of Ibn Umar, has been mentioned 27 times. It has been mentioned 27 times. And Allah knows best the difference. Some of the ulama, they mentioned that in the beginning, the Prophet, it was revealed to him 25 times, and then later he found that it had been increased 27 times. Others have mentioned, oh, this is according to the individual and to the jama'ah. Some jama'at or some congregations are better and more virtuous than others, they will have a greater reward. And other, for with this will be with regards to the individual. Also, some of the ulama have mentioned that it would either be for him 25 or 27 according to yani his khushur and the likes in the prayer. And Allah knows best the meaning. In any case, both of these wordings, whether it's 25 times better or 27 times better, it's a clear indication and an evidence for the virtue of the congregational prayer. For the virtue of the congregational prayer. Yeah, subhanAllah. If somebody was to say now in the affairs of the dunya, for example, if you come to, if you stay in your home, then and take care of this issue, I'll give you a dollar. But if you come over here to this place, not far away, and establish the same issue, and you do the same work, I'll give you $25. If they said that to him five times a day, you think he's going to stay in his house, getting his dollar, and come out every day with $5? Or $27, is he going to go for the $25 or the $27? Not to mention to establish a congregational prayer, it doesn't take much effort. But it requires not physical effort, but the effort that it does take is spiritual effort. That one would strive against his soul. The one who has his iman that is strong, that iman will move him. And it will cause him to get up from his place. And it will cause him to move towards the masjid. And from those people who they're going to be under the shade of Allah on the day when there is no shade except for His shade. رجل قلبه متعلق بالمسجد. A man who his heart is attached to the masjid. Meaning he loves to be in the masjid. He finds peace whenever he's in the masjid. He's tranquil and calm whenever he's in the masjid. Whenever he leaves, he can't wait to go back to the masjid. He spends his nights and his days in the masjid, visiting it frequently, more than one time a day. And even sometimes he will stay there. And the likes like this, not to see the people, not to conversate and the likes, but rather to worship Allah and to find peace and tranquility and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to read his book, tabaraka wa ta'ala, to learn his deen. And then along with that as well, seeing the brothers is also a benefit. But the reason why a believer he goes to the masjid and why his heart is attached to a masjid is for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nas'alullah azza wa jalla min fadlihi. So of course if somebody would say, I'll give you a dollar if you do this job here, but I'll give you $25 or $27 if you come do it over here at this other place, people would be jumping out of their seats, rushing for their money. But this is not from the affairs of the dunya. The money here, the daraja that is mentioned here, bi khamsin wa ishrina daraja, or bi khamsatin wa ishrina juz'a. This is, in some wordings, dhi'fan multiplied. This is with regards to the tijara and the business of the hereafter. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adhabin aleem. Oh, you who believe, should I not direct you to a business and trade or commerce that will save you from a painful punishment? تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم. That you believe in Allah and His Messenger and you strive in His path, نعم, with your souls and with your wealth. From the striving in the path of Allah, and the most important striving is striving to establish the obligations. Striving to establish the obligations. From the greatest obligations is the congregational prayer. Is the congregational prayer. Naam. So we see in this narration or the virtue of the congregational prayer. But before we continue with this issue, it's important to mention, especially in the lands that we live in, whenever this is not under the Muslim rule or the rule of the Muslim government and the masajid are few and far away, what is considered what is the distance for the congregation to be an obligation? Naam, what is the distance for the congregation to be an obligation upon an individual? The author, he will mention narrations clarifying that it's an obligation. Naam, to establish the congregation. But upon who? And the scholars agreed upon the male believers. But who and what is the difference that one or the, excuse me, the distance that one must be from the masajid before it becomes an obligation upon him to attend? Meaning that if he did not attend, he would be sinning. Because there's the issue of attending and fulfilling the obligation or not fulfilling it, and this is yani, a very serious issue. The one who does not fulfill the obligation, then he's sinning. And he could be punished, and he's blameworthy. As for the one who does not have to fulfill it, if he did fulfill it and he did not have to, then this is yani considered non-obligatory for him. So it's a virtue for him, but if he did not do it, he's not blameworthy. He's not blameworthy, and he will not be held accountable and for his action. So when will it become an obligation? And what is the distance? Many of the ulama, they mention that this is by hearing the adhan. The one who hears the adhan. And likewise, they mention, and this does not mean hearing the adhan from the microphone, from the loud microphone like we have in the Muslims' lands today. But what is considered and what would make the obligation for one to respond to the call and to pray in the congregation, and that if he did not respond to the call without a legislated excuse, he would be sinning. This is the one who could hear the call to the call to the prayer from a man who has a strong voice, but with a normal voice. Somebody who made the adhan from the masjid, whether maybe he's high, he has a loud voice, and many of the ulama, they mention likewise, whenever the wind is calm and the noises likewise have died down, the one who's listening, if he can hear the adhan at this time, then it's an obligation for him to respond, meaning an obligation for him to go to the masjid. So this would determine the distance. The one who lives this far from the masjid, far enough that if someone with a strong voice and on a calm day, whenever it's quiet and the wind is down, likewise, would make the adhan out loud with a regular voice without a microphone. Even maybe if he's in a high spot on the masjid, for example, or in a minaret, no problem. If a person is at a distance where he could hear that call, it's an obligation for him to respond. Anybody behind that or beyond that who would not hear that call, it's not an obligation for him to respond. This is important to know. Along with the fact that we highly encourage the brothers to attend the masajid in these lands specifically, even if they live far away from the masjid. And the majority of the people, they live far away from the masjid because the masajid are not close to the majority of the people, except for some people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed and favored and allowed them to live near the masajid. This is a favor from Allah. Those who live near the masjid, they say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, even if they don't live near enough to hear the adhan, if it was made, but they live near enough to get there easily, a believer, he should still strive. But now the issue is just to know, when will one be considered sinning with regards to this? When will he be held accountable? When will he be taken into account in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla with regards to this? Any of the congregational prayer? This is whenever he lives in this distance. As for if he lived beyond that distance, it's not an obligation upon him and he's not sinning. Although it's highly recommended for him to attend, especially in these lands, to keep touch with the believers, to be in contact with the believers and benefit from the believers and the likes like this, and to not be far away from the congregation and to be engulfed in the affairs of the disbelievers and the likes like this, but rather to have a good relationship with the masjid. Even if he lived further away. But would he be sinning? This is the issue. La, he would not be sinning. No, he would not be sinning. It's been narrated from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that he said, أَتَى النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَجُلٌ أَعْمَى, that a blind man, he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِي قَائِدٌ يَقُودُنِي إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. He said, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, verily there I do not have somebody who will lead me to the masjid. And he's blind, he can't see. I do not have somebody who would lead me to the masjid. فَسَأَلَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يُرَخِّصَ لَهُ فَيُصَلِّي فِي بَيْتِهِ فَرَخَّصَ لَهُ. So the man, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to give him a license and to allow him, to make it easy for him so that he can pray in his house. Now, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the beginning, he allowed that, and he allowed for him to pray in his home. He agreed with him. فَلَمَّا وَلَّى دَعَى. But whenever he turned away, the blind man, he turned away, now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him again. فَقَالَ هَلْ تَسْمَعُ نِدَاءَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sought some details. And he said, do you hear the call to the prayer? قال نعم. The man, he said, yes. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فأجب. Then you must respond. Then you must respond. So then here we see that this was not made an excuse for him. He lived in near the masjid and he's blind. And he does not have someone to direct him always to the masjid. But he hears the call. He hears the call. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that you must respond. That you must respond. So therefore this is from the evidences that clarify the one who can hear the adhan, or if he's at a distance where he could hear the adhan, if it was made in a normal manner without microphones and without speakers and the likes like this, then at this time it's an obligation for him. And if he was beyond that distance, then it's not an obligation for him, and he is not sinning if he prayed in his house. He's not sinning if he prayed in his house. Although it's highly recommended, especially in these lands, as I mentioned before, and I encourage that more for myself and for my brothers to strive to pray in the masjid as much as one can, and particularly in the masjid of the people of the sunnah. But sometimes it's not always possible. And if somebody is doing his business and he's far away from the masjid, it's not an obligation for him to drive. And if he's 15, 20 minutes from the masjid, it's not an obligation for him to drive there. If he did, alhamdulillah, if he's able to, alhamdulillah, even greater reward for him. Let him make his intention sincere and do it for the sake of Allah and seek the reward and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now this is good. But if he were to pray at his job site, or if he were to pray where he was and the likes like this, and not in the masjid in the congregation, then he would not be sinning. Walillah alhamd. Wa deenullahi yusrun. Now, as for the one who is at home in the time of the prayer, or he's near the place where the call could be heard, and likes like this, and then he must respond. Then he must respond. So likewise in this narration, we see that it's clear that the prayer of the one who prayed by himself alone, if he did not join the congregation, if he prayed alone, the obligatory prayer, his prayer is correct. Now, because the Prophet, he mentioned that there's virtue here, but the one in congregation is more virtuous. And so the salat of a person by himself in his home is virtuous. Now, it has fadl, but the prayer and the congregation is better. So then that means that this person, he prayed, his prayer is correct, not that his prayer would be incorrect if he didn't pray. Even if he lived in a distance where it's an obligation for him to attend the congregation, if he prayed at home, then his prayer would be correct, but he would be sinning. His prayer would be correct, it would be accepted, but he would be sinning. He himself would be sinning by leaving off the congregation intentionally without an excuse. But the issue now is with regards to the correctness of the prayer. Salatuhu sahiha. Salatuhu sahiha. Nam, and but the reward is less. Wa salatuhu sahiha, lakin ajraha qalilun. But the reward of that prayer is less. So this narration clearly encourages the congregation. Likewise, the narration that comes after this also encourages the congregation, and this is with regards likewise to the one who does not have an excuse, and the one who prayed alone. And he doesn't have an excuse, then his prayer, the one who has a less reward. As for the one who normally prays in the masjid, but then someday he had an excuse, and it's a legislated excuse because he's sick, for example, or because food was presented at that time and he was prohibited and he's following that sunnah, inshallah, in his right, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذو فضل عظيم, is the one who possesses a vast and a great grace and mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will have his reward with his Lord. As for the one who does not have an excuse, then wallahu a'lam, this is what is being referred to in this narration. Salatul jama'ati afdalu min salatil fadhi bi 27 daraja. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.